the flyover country. This is Spin Sold Separately.
Stay on daylight savings time. I know it doesn't work ideally for every part of the country or every part of the world, but man, where I live, forget the fact that I woke up at 5 a.m. today because my body tells me it's 6 a.m. and I'm just programmed to wake up at 6. It's light out at 6:30. It's going to be dark at 4:45. Just stick with daylight savings time. I know that's a minority opinion, but as you've probably noticed by now, I'm not afraid to take the minority position on things. Welcome back to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. This is the last time that I will be recording before Election Day, which, as I sit here, is now just 2 days away. And I gotta tell you, it becomes clearer every single hour how important this election is. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say most important ever. It's getting close. The spin, the propaganda out there is being laid on so thick. It's reaching a fever pitch. And this election day cannot get here soon enough. Let me start with something completely unrelated, though. This whole Jason Kelce thing, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but this came out yesterday where Jason Kelce was walking down the street and some punk was behind him giving him crap about his brother. And he turned around, grabbed the guy's phone, and spiked it into the ground. And I'm not here to promote any kind of violence. He was 100% in the right on this, at least from the video clips I've seen, and I've seen three of them from three different angles. I am in favor of free speech, 100%. I'm not saying this guy that was following him should be jailed or imprisoned, but he is not free of the consequences of his actions, and in my opinion, he got what he deserved. I am a strong believer of the motto that your rights end where mine begin. Now, I don't care who this idiot votes for. He's a POS. He's a POS that needs to learn how to live in a civilized society. I don't care if he's a Trump voter, a Kamala voter, a Green Party voter. I don't care. Jason, like all of us, have the right to live free of harassment. Not to be chased down the street by some idiot shouting slurs about his brother because he's dating Taylor Swift. It was disgusting and pathetic, and good on Jason Kelce for not taking it. I'm sick of how brazen people have gotten, getting in the faces of other people who aren't bothering them. And this goes on all sides. Good on Jason Kelce. At least if what I've seen is how it was, if there isn't more to the story, and I will always leave room for that, if the story is as it has appeared on the video clips, good on Jason Kelce. Hear, hear. Make an example of these idiots. Folks, the polling coming out this weekend that you have probably heard about by now, it's all crap. Don't believe a word of it. Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, was famous for saying polls in their most sadistic form are meant to shape public opinion, not reflect it. That is what is happening this weekend. And when I say the propaganda is being layered on thick, this is what I'm talking about. These people coming out with these absolute outlier, ridiculous, anti-historical polls want you to believe that out of absolute whole cloth, Kamala Harris has surged by 5 or 10% in the last few days. In polls that haven't moved 2% in either direction for months. Folks, I'm appealing to your common sense here. You know that's not true, and I don't care which side you support. You know that's not true. They want you to think that this is because of the rally that was held at Madison Square Garden and some idiot roast comic joking about the garbage problem, which is real, by the way, in Puerto Rico. All this while some 40 million people have viewed or listened to the Trump interview on Joe Rogan's podcast, while Kamala Harris dodges it completely and basically told Joe Rogan to conform to her demands or she's not coming. This isn't costing me any of my sanity, but it's certainly costing me my sleep. Here I am at 6:30 in the morning recording this because I had too much to say. I have to get this out, or I'm gonna bottle it up all day. I got too much to do today. They're trying to discourage you from voting. That's what they're doing. Go and you know what? Let's take them at their word. Go ahead and believe that Kamala Harris is suddenly up five. This should motivate you and me and anyone with a disdain for the legacy media, even close to the stratosphere that mine hit, that I have. You know what? Don't bring five friends to the polls with you. Bring 10. Bring 15. After church this morning, make sure everybody knows, hey, I've got three seats in my car on Tuesday. If you don't want to drive to the polls, I'll pick you up. We'll grab lunch. We'll grab dinner. We'll make a day out of it. Election Day should be a national holiday, but we'll get to that. You know what? Make an example of these people. These people who openly lie to you day after day after day, make them know once and for all that we're done. We're done being lied to. We're done being manipulated by people that care about nothing but their own selfish, sleazy agenda. These polls haven't moved in 3 months, and we're suddenly supposed to believe that Kamala Harris is just running away with it. Based on what? A rally at Madison Square Garden? Are you kidding me? Billy Joel would like a word. You know, the guy who spent a 10-year residency at Madison Square Garden? Is he some raging Nazi? The New York Knicks, who play all of their home games at Madison Square Garden? All racists? All Nazis? What about all the concerts and the conventions that they've had there? All Hitlerian in origin? Or you could talk about that famous Nazi rally in 1992 when Bill Clinton accepted the nomination for president at Madison Square Garden. Very famous Nazi rally. These people are pulling something that happened in 1939 and acting as if nothing has happened since. Like that building has been sitting there idle and empty as some kind of a monument to how horrible that Nazi gathering in 1939 was. And Donald Trump just went up there and knocked on the door and said, "Anybody home? I need a place for my New York rally. I think this place will be big enough." It's absurd. And the fact that they want you to believe that it's true is only more revealing of what they really think of us, what they really think of you, what they really think of the American people. No one with any functioning brain capacity believes this. This moronic comedian, really? That's what people are going to make their last-minute decision on who to vote for on? You've got RFKJ out there promising to stop the food industry from poisoning our kids. You got Tulsi Gabbard out there promising to take care of our military and our veterans like no one ever has before, giving them the gratitude that they so richly deserve from us. You got Elon Musk out there promising to gut government waste and overreach once and for all, and finally give this country a financially feasible and sustainable path forward. We need geniuses like him in positions where he can make a difference, not only in the private sector, but in the public sector as well. You've got Donald Trump himself talking about eliminating tax on tips, which would absolutely and directly help a group of people that needs the help the most, without penalizing their employers with higher taxes or forcing increased wages on them that they can't afford, that only causes them to then increase their prices. He wants to close the border to illegal immigration so as to protect our citizens, our young women from being killed while they're out running near their college campus. Protecting American workers, making our enemies uncomfortable again. But some roast comic makes an off-color joke 3 or 4 hours before Trump even speaks, and that's what people are going to base their decision on? And some 1939 rally at one of the most famous venues in America? I've had it. I've had it. We need to let the world know that we're done being taken advantage of. No, we don't feel guilty for what we've built in this country. We're not the world's dumping ground for their criminals and their murderers and their rapists. Now, not all illegal immigrants fall into those categories. The vast majority don't. There are millions of great people that simply need to follow our immigration laws, as in need of reform as they may be. That doesn't give anyone the right to break them. We've got veterans on the streets. I see it every day, not very far from my house. Where's their shelter and three meals a day and their TVs and their Xboxes? Where's our compassion for them? A veteran should want for nothing in this country. We should roll out the red carpet and thank them every single day for the sacrifices they made to keep us safe at their own peril. Nobody made them do it. They earn next to nothing. They're away from their families for months, sometimes years at a time. Their kids grow up barely knowing who they are, save for a Zoom call here or there. A veteran should never want for a roof over their head in this country. Yet we build brand new shelters for people that are here in violation of our own laws. While people that went to fight for our freedoms and our ideals making $32,000 a year starve on the streets. Shame on us. Let's get out there and make a difference. This cannot stand in the United States of America, and this will not stand under a second Trump administration. Don't believe these ridiculous polls for a second. Get out there and vote, and you should be more motivated, I know I am, more motivated now and more determined than ever. They're panicking. They're grasping at straws, throwing everything at the wall, trying to get something to stick that will discourage you. You've heard what they think of us. Those of us that dare not to support the left as it currently exists in this country. President Obama called us bitter clingers. Hillary called us deplorable. Biden called us, I quote, an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic, end quote. And then if that wasn't enough, followed it up just this week by calling us garbage. Mark Cuban, who isn't a politician yet, but has certainly become a very vocal spokesperson for the left in this country, said no smart or strong women support Trump. This is what they think of us. The disdain is dripping off their smug, overeducated, overcompensated faces. They hate half the country, and they'll govern like they hate half the country. They'll follow the Tim Walz plan of what to do after getting reelected in a tight election. Tim Walz, after winning re-election in 2022 by a 52-45 margin. Now, that's a comfortable margin. It's not 70-30. It's not some universal mandate that basically just says, you know what? We all support you. Go for it. Within months after being re-elected by a 52-45 margin, he legalized marijuana. Now, in Minnesota, there are cannabis stores on every flipping corner. You can't go anywhere without smelling it. They codified abortion through the ninth month, no questions asked. He turned Minnesota into a trans youth sanctuary where minors can come to get permanent sex reassignment surgeries, even against the will of their own parents. He even changed the state flag, for crying out loud, all on the strength of a 52-45 win. The Democrats gained control of both chambers of the state government, and he told 45% of his constituents to go F themselves. That's not governing. That's not unity. That's not finding common ground. This all happened in the first few months after he was reelected. He got reelected and absolutely put the hammer down. Coming to a state or maybe even a country near you. The difference in these two visions couldn't be clearer. One side is openly pushing for censorship, control over social media, and what can be talked about, what can be espoused, what opinions you are permitted to hold and have the audacity to communicate to somebody else. They've already demonstrated a willingness, even an eagerness, to censor things that are true, but happen to be inconvenient to their worldview. Under no circumstances whatsoever do they deserve this kind of power. Who gets to decide what's misinformation and what isn't? They called Hunter Biden's laptop misinformation and censored it, and prevented people from sharing the story days in front of the 2020 election. They called questions, not even statements, just questions about the COVID vaccines and their claims of efficacy and 100% prevention misinformation. They say they want to censor hate speech while preaching hate for half the country from every single podium they can get their hands on. These are the people we want deciding what is and is not acceptable conversation in this country? What is and is not acceptable to believe in your own head? The freedom of speech is absolute. And the fight for the freedom of speech isn't fought on the shores of the speech we agree with. It's fought in the trenches of the speech that we don't. I may hate ninth-month abortion with every fiber of my soul, but I will die for your right to preach it from the mountaintop. I'll mock it. I'll ridicule it. I will spend my dying breath admonishing it. But I will never support anyone or anything that threatens to take away your right to say it, to have your own thoughts in your head, to bring it to the public square and debate it. That's what makes this country unique in human history. Our freedoms are not ever to be infringed upon, not by this government, the right, the left, or anyone else. One side is pushing for irreversible surgeries to be performed on minor children. You can't get a tattoo at 14, but you can permanently and irreversibly alter your body. You gotta be 25 to rent a car, 21 to drink, 18 to buy a gun or vote. Can't rent a hotel room until you're 21. I think it's 21. But at 12 or 13, you've got the mental capacity to make permanent life-altering decisions with no grasp whatsoever of the ramifications of it, the irreversible nature of it, the lifelong physical challenges that are guaranteed physically and mentally that inevitably are ahead of them. They have no capacity to grasp the gravity of what they're talking about and the permanent nature of it, the irreversible nature of it. It is our job as parents to protect children. That's why we call them minors. That's why we don't let them drive at 10, because they don't have the capacity, the life experience. The scientific community themselves, follow the science, has said the human brain isn't finished developing until 25 or around there. And you know what? I believe it. Because I still did really dumb, inexplicably stupid things in my 20s. There was no way I could have made a decision like that. Because you wake up one day and you're sick of being bullied and you decide maybe life would be better as a boy or a girl. And the first adult you come across says, yes, you're absolutely right. We're gonna schedule your surgery for next week. Affirm, affirm, affirm. Now, gender dysphoria is a real thing. And I feel for people that are in that situation. The families, the kids, it's heartbreaking. I absolutely have the utmost compassion for people that wake up in the morning and don't even feel like they know who they are. Or they're in the wrong body. My heart aches for them. And I am bleeding with compassion. But our society has taken this to a level that it never, ever should have reached. Where you aren't even allowed to talk about this before affirming. You aren't allowed to explore what else might be going on in this person's life. You know, a horrible divorce or endless financial struggles or bullying at school. You know what? I can tell you this from experience. You can't limit bullying in school and explain it all away just by saying, well, it's only certain groups. Kids will pick on other kids for anything. Because they like school too much. Because they're too short. Because they're too slow. Because they're too fat. Because they're too skinny. Because they're not athletic. Because they're not cool. Because they don't hang out with the cool crowd. Because they sweat too much. Because they wear glasses. You can't always explain it away by just shoving them into some little group and saying, well, this is the group that gets picked on. Baloney. I love kids. I've got two of my own. I would die for both of them in a heartbeat. But kids can be mean. Especially younger kids, elementary school, middle school. That's why I said a couple days ago at the end of my show, bullies are the scum of the earth. I wholeheartedly believe that. But it isn't just kids that wake up in the morning and question who they are that get picked on. One side is pushing abortion through the 9th month. I challenge you, take a look at an ultrasound from 9 months. You know what? Even cut it in half, 4 or 5 months. Take a look at an ultrasound and tell me that's not a human being. I'll wait. One side is pushing to imprison political opposition. Look at what they've done to Trump. I went through a whole litany on episode 3 of what they have done in detail to this one man. Do you think it ends there? Do you think if Trump gets defeated and goes and retires to Mar-a-Lago for the rest of his life, do you think the demonization of half the country ends there? They called Nixon Hitler. They called Reagan Hitler. They called George W. Bush Hitler. They called John McCain Hitler. They called Mitt Romney the most vanilla Republican candidate in the history of presidential politics, Hitler, making him sound like some raging misogynist. Do you remember what happened after Ron DeSantis got reelected in Florida by an overwhelming margin and for a minute was the Republican frontrunner? They turned their guns on him and said that, oh, he's even worse than Trump. Do you remember that? They will do this to every Republican every time from now until the end of eternity, unless we once and for all put an end to it by making the people who would do such things and espouse such things permanently irrelevant. One side is threatening our country by allowing millions of people to come here that only seek to destroy it, that don't share our values, that think America is the problem in the world. Look at these college campuses. Are we teaching people that America is an overall good in the world? Yes, we have committed our sins, but no country in human history has done more to atone for its wrongdoings than the United States. We fought a civil war over slavery. We ended segregation with the civil rights movement. We take care of our senior citizens and those who can't provide for themselves. We are a compassionate civilization. As compassionate a civilization as has ever existed on the planet, and we are done apologizing for the success of this country. We should be out there promoting the American values that led to that success, not apologizing for them. Our values are what has led to the prosperity and privilege that we enjoy as American citizens. One side is pushing racial, gender, economic, cultural division in this country by hyper-focusing on immutable characteristics that have no bearing whatsoever on the inner character of a human being. We've segmented off every possible sector of our population: rich, poor, old, young, college, high school, black, white, urban, rural, gay, straight, Democrat, Republican. This community, that community. You know what my community is? My neighborhood. The community club where my kids go to play at the playground and skate at the skating rink, to play pickup baseball or pickup soccer in the field. You know who I see there? Rich and poor, old and young, black and white, urban and rural, gay and straight, Democrats and Republicans. That's my community. I want nothing to do with a societal structure that says, no, hey, no, your group is over there. This group here, you're here. No, your group is over there. Oh, you're Latino? Oh, okay, you go over there. This cancerous belief that just because someone looks a certain way, that they must have a predetermined set of beliefs and desires. This is so backwards, so regressive. And it's the reason that tribalism has only increased in recent years, instead of fading into the annals of ancient history where it belongs. One side is openly talking about fundamentally changing the structure and function of our federal government. They're openly talking about packing the Supreme Court with liberal justices to gain the majority back. Liberal-leaning justices dominated our Supreme Court for most of the second half of the 20th century. Did you ever hear from Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan or George Bush about packing the court? Did you ever hear of that phrase until now? To my knowledge, two presidents have talked about packing the court. Well, one president, Franklin Roosevelt, who was resoundingly rejected in that effort by his own party, and today's version of the Democrat Party. Those are the only two instances in which I have ever heard of packing the court. You know why nobody talks about it? Because it would delegitimize it forever. And it would cease to exist as the third pillar of government in our country. One side wants to eliminate the filibuster and by extension the Electoral College. The very tools by which minorities in this country can keep themselves from being steamrolled by the majority. They want them all gone. We'll get to this in much greater detail in a future episode all its own, but the founders were supremely wary of mob rule. Simple majorities making every decision. The Electoral College has been misunderstood and mischaracterized for years. Long story short, states elect the president, not the people directly. And that's how it was designed for very specific reasons. Not the least of which was the founders' fear of mob rule and minorities being silenced. More on that to come. The filibuster? For those of you that don't know, it's the necessity in the Senate to generate 60 votes to allow an actual vote to come to the floor. It basically is a tool by which the founders all but demanded bipartisanship, or at least, you know, they didn't know how many ultimate political parties there would be in this country, or how many would dominate. But you basically had to have more than just 51-49 consensus. They wanted the federal government to be a slow burn. Slow movements, nothing too radical in either direction, with these violent swings back and forth, depending on who was in power. Anyway, we'll get to more on that later, but that's what the filibuster is. It's a tool by which bipartisanship and cooperation is basically a necessity. Now let me give you a little endorsement for the filibuster. Harry Reid, God rest his soul, senator from Nevada, was getting very, very frustrated, especially during President Obama's second term, that the Republicans weren't just rubber stamping all of Obama's judicial appointments. And instead of trying to convince the other side or trying to nominate more moderate candidates, Harry Reid simply decided to nuke the filibuster for Barack Obama's judicial appointments in 2013. It's known as the nuclear option, in which the Senate Majority Leader, which Harry Reid was at the time, can decide to basically eliminate the requirement for the 60-vote threshold and be able to push through whatever they're seeking to push through on a simple majority vote. Harry Reid did that in 2013 for Barack Obama's federal judge appointments. Now, the Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, at the time, said, "Don't do this. You will rue the day that you did this. Don't do it, because this will turn around against you someday in the future." Mitch McConnell, Republican senator from Kentucky, who has a long career of ticking off the left wing of the Senate, looked Harry Reid right in the eye and said, "You will regret this." Well, Harry Reid didn't care. So Harry Reid nuked the filibuster for Obama's federal judge nominations and got them all through. Well, lo and behold, the Senate went back to the Republicans in 2016. And do you know what Mitch McConnell did in response to Harry Reid? He nuked the filibuster for Supreme Court justices. That's why you got the nominees that you did, Democrats. You don't like the Supreme Court as it sits? Blame Harry Reid. Look at the old days. Justices used to be confirmed by overwhelming majorities in both parties because whoever was making the nomination knew they had to nominate a candidate that could appeal to the middle ground, that could appeal to both parties. They couldn't be too far one way or the other, or they'd never get confirmed. And the last thing a president wants to do is nominate someone who doesn't get confirmed, because it certainly reflects poorly not only on their candidate, but on themselves. So presidents historically took that into consideration when they were nominating someone. And the court was better and more balanced because of it. That doesn't mean I agree with every decision the court ever made. But they're there to interpret the law, not make it. They're there to interpret the Constitution, not change it. These are the guardrails of our government that keep any one branch, and by extension, any single president, from getting too far out over their skis. They want all of these guardrails gone. Ask yourself why. Why would you want all these guardrails and limits on government power gone? There's one reason. Permanent, unquestioned, unchallenged, universal power. We as a society must, we have a duty to reject this coordinated effort between the highest levels of our government, corrupt leadership among the DOJ, not the people on the ground, but among their leadership, between big business, big pharma, big banks, to amass unprecedented power and quash all dissent in the form of censorship or even imprisonment. We must reject this legacy media in its entirety for their willingness to gleefully join this effort as a willing and obedient accomplice. Look no further than what happens to anyone in the legacy media that dares to venture outside the predetermined lines. They're ended. They are outcast. They aren't celebrated for their strength or their heterodoxy or their willingness to challenge the narrative or challenge those in authority. They're silenced. They're extradited from the industry. And their entire lives and reputations are damaged, and in some cases destroyed. Folks, this isn't coming from the right. None of this is.
Well, boy, you sure don't sound like an independent.
If you think I'm some crackpot conservative masquerading as an independent, just wait till you hear my thoughts on guns, healthcare, and the income gap. I am an American citizen that knows when I'm being lied to. When I'm being manipulated into thinking exactly what somebody wants me to think, I fully reject this coordination by our most powerful institutions that were created to challenge one another in the interest and for the safety and security of the American people, not to conspire to deceive them. We have to stand up to this. Our freedoms, our liberties, our ability to say and believe what we want, it really is at stake. I heard a brilliant point yesterday from a podcaster named Bridget Fetisi. She's outstanding. I heard this yesterday. She's another great listen if you're interested in independent political discussion. Bridget Fetisi is fantastic. She said, and she's 100% right, when we tiptoe around the internet or our public spaces, why are we doing that? What are we doing that for? What are we tiptoeing in fear of? It's the left. We aren't doing that because we're afraid the right is going to come and silence or censor us. We do it because we're afraid, even if it's only on a subconscious level, of the left coming to silence or censor or demonetize us. This is no way to live. Not in this country. You want censorship? Move to China. See how well censorship has served the Chinese people. We must reject once and for all, this culture of living in fear of being censored or canceled. We have to reject wholeheartedly this coordinated effort by those in power to demonize and silence those that aren't. We have to reject in every way this legacy media sycophantically bowing down to Democrat politicians while insulting or degrading those who oppose, purposefully misrepresenting their positions or their motives or their intentions. Folks, if we get this wrong and we lose these freedoms, these guardrails, these pillars of our government that have separated us from every failed civilization that came before us, we'll never get them back. And we're doomed to suffer the same fate. The open lying, the indoctrination, the unhinged, irrational behavior coming almost exclusively from the left in this country. We must reject it. Resoundingly. Please join me in that effort. Please forward this podcast and Megyn Kelly's and Bridget Phetasy's and Joe Rogan's and Dan Bongino's to every person in your life that you care about. There's still time. We have a duty to the ones we love, in our own circles, in our own families. We all have people in our lives that are ready to go pull the lever for this version of the Democrat Party. These aren't bad people. These are people we love. Smart people that we share holidays and birthdays and vacations with. You know who I'm talking about. You're picturing someone in your life right now. If they say things like Trump won't ever leave office, or he'll turn the military on us, or J.D. Vance is still going to be president in 2052, I'm sorry, they're too far gone. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. And it's like, you ever see The Matrix? It's like trying to unplug someone from The Matrix when they've relied on it for too long. We will hopefully get to those people in the next cycle. I'm not saying cut them loose. I would never sever a relationship based on political or ideological differences. And I'm not ever going to encourage anyone else to do that. But when I say cut them loose, I just mean for now. The time is too short. Focus on those in your life that you know and love, that you know can still be appealed to in a way that maybe, just maybe, we can open their eyes just a little bit wider. They're not dumb. They're not stupid. They're smart. But if we can just help them open their eyes just a little bit more so they can see the open deceit that's out there, that is only designed to steal their free will from them and get them to believe certain things for certain reasons, even if they aren't true. You know who I'm talking about. Forward this to that person and just ask them to listen with an open mind. One last appeal. Maybe we really can make the difference. God bless you all. Stay peaceful. Pray for our country. We will talk to you after the election. Don't be a jerk. Get out and vote. And I'll talk to you next time.